Good afternoon, everybody. This is our metta in the afternoon practice. It's better than a cocktail hour. More wholesome, probably. So let me start by asking, how many of you do metta as a primary practice? Okay, great. And how many of you feel like that you're well-grounded in instruction in how to do this practice? Stick them up high if you feel like it. Okay, so it's about maybe 50-50. So I'm going to say a few words about the practice itself to begin with. Said that in the time of the Buddha, a number of his monks were getting ready to do an extended practice period, and they spent a lot of time looking for a place that would be ideal for them to do it. It would have conducive conditions, you know, the climate would be okay, they would have a supportive group of people near them to provide food, be quiet and secluded so their practice would be supported in that kind of way. And they found a place that was ideal from their perspective and set out practicing there, and then ran into some trouble because this was a place inhabited by tree spirits that actually had this place as their abode. And the tree spirits, out of respect for the monastics, came down from the top of their trees, so they weren't higher than them. And at first that was okay with them, but then they started to realize, hey, these guys are going to be here for a long time. They're showing no signs of leaving. So, in effect, they had been displaced from their own abodes. So, they hadn't signed on for that. So, they started making problems for the monks to try to get them to move it along. So they would do things like make horrible smells happen or shrieks in the night. And the villagers were aware of this too, and they didn't like it. So whereas they had been formerly supportive of the monks, now they were like, this is trouble having you here. Maybe you should move on out. And the monks, of course, had their concentration shattered. And in fact, they had a lot of fear arise in their minds, fear and concern. And what had seemed to be the ideal spot now turned into a bad place to be. So they thought, well, you know, we had told the Buddha that we were going to be here because it was such a great spot, and now it's turned into a hot mess. But I think we should go back and see him and tell him where we would like to move and, you know, see what he has to say about it. So they went back to the Buddha and told him their problems with the neighborhood. And he said, well, no, you were correct in that this is a good spot, but you're going to have to do some work. And he actually gave them this metta practice as a counter, as a remedy to the fear they were experiencing. And then the rest of the story goes, and in doing the metta practice, they cut through the fear in their own minds, and by pervading this goodwill, the spirits that were upset and resentful had a turnaround of heart, and so stopped doing the things that they'd been doing, and then the villagers were okay with them being there too. So whether you take this story as completely mythological or something that has a basis in an actual event doesn't really make much difference. But there's a clear pointing in the story to one of Metta's roles, which is to counteract aversion. So if you remember the second of the Eightfold Path steps, it's the cultivation of wise intention, which is the intention towards compassion, goodwill, better known as metta, and renunciation. So this practice that we're going to do here as a community is actually the direct cultivation of wise intention, of metta, which is an attitude of mind. It may or may not be represented in a felt body sense. And I think if you would reflect for yourself, you'd realize, okay, there are times where maybe I've felt metta or goodwill as a body sense. You know, when you pick up your newborn niece or nephew, perhaps you have like, oh, you know, the whole system is kind of, oh, so lovely. But sometimes metta can be just an intention that seems like it's more of a mental thing, right? You know, I wish to be a person who cares about the people in my neighborhood, for instance. You may not even know them, and yet you can still cultivate goodwill. So this is an indirect way of saying, in the Buddhist system, intention always comes first. And intention is really what counts the most, because the rest of it, if the intention is there, eventually comes along, the actions of body, speech, and mind, and perhaps a felt body sense. So let's start by, has Greg been having you chant the Kariyana Metta Sutta? The Pali version or the English version? Both? So you know this is what should be done? Well, let's do that. Let's prime the metta pump. Okay. So this act of chanting is an action of body and mind and speech, which has metta as its essence. So form the intention now to cultivate metta. Just bring that to your mind. Okay. This is of benefit. And we can just do it all together, and I'll turn this off so I don't drown you out. And easily sad.
Buddha said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to pursuit, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense fading, is not born again into suffering.
Now, having formed that beautiful intention to cultivate this quality, let's start by working first with someone easy, and then we're going to move into a neutral person and a more difficult person. So if you wish, you can start with yourself or with a benefactor. Sometimes it's useful to bring an image or a felt sense of the person forward. Perhaps a memory of a photograph, or the sound of their voice. And then reflecting upon the value of this quality of metta, how it creates connection and safety. Begin to practice with your being of choice. Letting your goodwill touch them. And you might use phrases that represent that goodwill. May you be safe. And happy. May you be healthy and live with ease. And for some people, softening the heart center. Some people even like to touch the heart center. Can be useful. Some people imagine metta flowing from their heart center. And now if you're ready to move on from this person, you could bring to mind someone that is a more neutral person to you. Perhaps somebody that you can form a felt sense of, but you don't have a real strong reaction to, pro or con. So some kinds of examples of this might be somebody who works at a supermarket you go to, your barista, somebody who works in a bank, or somebody you've seen in synagogue or temple, sangha, maybe somebody here. So whoever floats in, so take a few seconds to find someone. And then reflecting, just as I wish to be happy, so does this person wish to be happy. As I wish to be safe, so this one wishes to be safe. As I wish to be healthy, so does this being wish to be healthy. As I wish to be at ease, so does this being wish to be at ease. And then as if your thoughts and phrases were blessings, which they are, let yourself include this being in the phrases and the attitude of goodwill. May you too be happy. And may you be safe. May you be healthy. And may you live with ease of well-being. And now if you're feeling pretty complete with that person, I'd invite you into an exploration of offering metta to what's called the difficult person or a difficult person. So some advice about this. Since this is a developmental practice, and we have limited time for this today, it's probably not a good idea to pick your worst enemy. But pick somebody that you find annoying or irritating in some way, perhaps, or someone where you have reservations about them. Someone that you find challenging. So many choices, huh? Pick one that's within range for now for you. And letting go of the storyline of why they are a difficult person is wise, can be useful to reflect on what we have in common, wanting to be happy and safe and healthy and at ease. And as if you had the power to make that so for someone, see if you can find a way to be willing to extend that intention towards them. This practice of, if it were up to me, mind. May you be happy. May you be safe. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. If it gets too difficult, you can go back to where you're working with an easier person and work there again to build some energy and willingness for the practice. And now bringing that to a close, let yourself become aware of others sitting in this place with you. Just kind of touch into the presence of others in the room. Just as I wish to be happy, so do you all wish to be happy. And as I wish to be safe, so you all wish to be safe. As I wish to be healthy, so do you all. And we all wish to live with ease. So may that be so. May we be happy. May we be safe. May we be healthy and live with ease of well-being. And then just letting these intentions of goodwill, let them radiate out in all directions. Touching all beings. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be healthy. May all beings live with ease. May we all awaken together. May we all be safe from harm. May we all be of benefit to beings. May this attitude of mind strengthen within us until it becomes a power. I think that's good for now.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.